Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, which will probably be brought to you by Duff. For the rest of our lives.
He is making sure of that.
Absolutely. Best advertiser we have ever had, Colonel Duff.
Amen.
We will talk about that in a little while. No offense to the rest of our guys that have advertised with us, but trust us, you can't touch this guy. we got a lot to talk about as far as Duff goes. I don't think either one of us has touched any of it. We will get to that in a little bit. Of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. How you doing?
We are back on audio, which is what we know how to do. We did some things before we fired up the mics here to do the actual audio podcast, and I'm feeling pretty comfortable, except that I'm really just now realizing that I was going to have my handy-dandy personal assistant turn off all the lights in here. It's really bright in here. Like, I've got lamps on. I got, like, stuff going on. So I'm going to have to do something about that when we take a break. Other than that, I'm good. What's going on with you, sir?
Man, just working. Busy time of the year for me. So, sadly, not a whole lot of gaming because of that. So, but there's a lot of news today, and so I don't have a lot of games to talk about. But we have lots of news that'll hopefully fill in some of that.
Well,
so, but yeah, just a lot of work because that's life and being an adult.
And I sent you a text yesterday. I feel the same way. I sent you a text yesterday that literally said, "Can I just mention being an adult really sucks?" And it does. Like, there's quite literally no redeeming quality to being an adult. I can't find it. Like, seriously, it's not there. It's not fun. I'm not enjoying it. I'm not having anything that resembles fun. It's just like, if I had known that this is what being an adult was, I would have held on to what I had for as long as I possibly could.
And, isn't that the truth?
And I'm thinking you feel the exact same way.
Yeah. Youth is wasted on the young.
Because we did not know. And now we're both working like mad and trying to... that's the thing, is we're working like mad and we're doing it for no other reason than just trying to live.
Yeah.
Like if we had some sort of big monstrous goal that we were working toward, it would be one thing. But no, we're just trying to like pay the bills and do what we gotta do to live. And if anybody else feels the same way out there, please let us know. We can start a complaining thread on the Facebook page, which I think would be funny. Because being an adult is hardcore. That being said, I have had a couple of hours this week to play some games. I recorded the very end of Life is Strange Episode 3 last night. That game is bizarre because I sit down to record and I can almost never finish it in one sitting. And so, like, I'm having to splice things together and edit, which, you know, I love to do. It's, like, my favorite thing ever. But I got that done last night, and you will remember, and you'll see at the end of the Patreon video, I don't think I am spoiling anything for anybody, but the end of episode 3 has a really nasty twist involving a wheelchair, and I don't know if you remember that, but it kind of like took my breath away.
Yeah,
and so like now I'm trying to figure out what am I gonna do? I have to keep playing it because I need to know how we got here.
Right.
Just out of reference, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And it just made me feel uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
And so now I'm, like, profoundly uncomfortable, and there's two episodes left, and I'm like, I got that, like uneasy, like, icky feeling, and I guess they did that on purpose. Like, I'll tell you this, I didn't expect it.
Yeah.
I mean, you played the game. I know you probably, you knew it was coming and you didn't say anything because that's one of the greatness, that's one of the great things of gaming. But man, I was really uncomfortable last night finishing that up.
Yeah.
I literally thought, can I rewind and not do the thing that caused that?
Yeah. yeah, that's the gameplay mechanic. No, you can't.
No, that's so. That's so I'm very interested in that and in finishing that. We're being cagey because it's content for Patreon. And so if you want to know what's going on there, you should join the Patreon page and watch the videos that are being put up there. And if you want to know what Patreon is all about, all of those videos eventually go public on Patreon. I think I put them up with like a 7-day period before the public gets all of them. But if you go to our Patreon page right now, without even paying, you can check those out and see what you've been missing. I will reiterate that game is weird. Like,
yeah.
That game is just very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So that,
yeah,
that's been very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a trip. It's fascinating and weird, and you've got more exciting weird stuff to come, so.
Well, that's good to know. Like yeah. I don't think I'm going to feel real good about myself if it gets much weirder. if she stands up and, like, if she turns out to be Professor X, I'm gonna be a little freaked out.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be. That's why we love video games, because they keep us on the edge of our seats. The other reason that we like video games is because the video game community is very, very giving, and I'm going to tell you in a little while about some guys that I work with who are playing games to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network, and very specifically a couple of places here in town that are involved with that. I want you guys to get involved because I go to work all the time and I brag on you guys about how cool you are and how you give us stuff, and like they wonder like what's going on in my life that all of this stuff is happening. Well, now I want you guys to go over and help them out so you can make us look real good and they can know that I'm not a liar. like that would be really awesome. So we're going to talk about that later in the show. It's going to be on the Facebook page, it's going to be on Twitter, it's going to be on everything. that's going to be going on for about the next month, and so we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Would you like to talk to me? I know you haven't been playing games, but would you like to talk to me very specifically about what has been going on over there? I mean, I know you don't have a lot of downtime, but
sure.
but I know it's been crazy, but I'd like to know what's been happening over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just getting started in the semester, so working for a college and at this point running a college. The beginning of the semester is just a busy time, and so dealing with students and student life and classes and teaching and on and on and on. And so that's been a lot of it. And then in the off time, trying to recover a little bit. I'll mention, I talked about this on the round table. So if you've listened to the round table, you know, I've been playing this one, but I've been playing a ton of Rocket League, which is random. But it's one of those games that I can just do in little small chunks. And so it'll be a 5-minute match and then on with my life. And so it works really well with my schedule where I just need a little break every hour. So I'll play a game or two an hour and be working the rest of the time. And so it works well. And I've gotten not really good at it, because there's definitely different tiers. Like, you play, like, there's a like a casual mode and then there's a competitive mode, and believe it or not, and this will shock you, I've been playing a lot on the competitive mode because it's more fun, even though people tend to be a little bit more take it too seriously, in my opinion, like rage quit and that kind of stuff, which is a little obnoxious. But I've actually been playing an online game in a competitive mode, which isn't something that I typically enjoy doing, want to do. I don't take games that seriously. And to be fair, I don't take Rocket League that seriously either, but it's actually a lot of fun. And so it's fun both in that I can kind of hang. And so sometimes, like, at the end of every match, it ranks the players on the team of who had the most points based off of, like, if you scored or if you saved a goal from happening or if you had an assist or all this kind of stuff, like soccer or basketball or whatever, mixing a lot of sports together with RC cars, really. I'm often the best player on a team, and that's not something that I typically do in competitive games, is where I'm the best player. But then there's the other matches that you get into where, like, there's somebody who's like stupid good that does all the aerial stuff, which I have yet to figure out, and there's a bunch of people that are really good at that stuff in the game, and then it's like, oh yeah, I'm not actually very good. Like, it's very humbling very quickly. Like, Rocket League's like, yes, take a step back, buddy, you know, like, get in your place. And so I'm better at that game than I've been at most competitive games that I've played, and so that's one of the reasons I think it's got me more hooked at this point.
I'm gonna have to hook you up with my guy Carlos, who I work with, that I don't see a lot anymore because he moved up. He moved over to the other building and started working with my brother, which is crazy. So I don't see him a lot. But that dude lives on Rocket League, and he could probably teach you about whatever you need to know. That game is crazy. And I think the reason that you're into it is it's got a lot of blitzball in it.
But it does have a lot of blitzball, in a lot of ways. And it's just, like, it's sports, you know, it's sports ball, not like sports ball. But at the same time, it's arcadey and fun and goofy. And again, for the most part, like I mentioned, on the roundtable, the people that I've played with have been super cool. Like most people aren't punks on there, though you do run into punks. I was playing earlier today, and a dude thought he was awesome, and it was just obnoxious, you know. And that's just through text. Like, I don't have the volume turned up on. I don't know if there's voice chat on the thing or not. I don't care. I don't want to hear anybody talking about Rocket League. That's just on, like, the text chat, the people who have enough time to, like, write stuff out and chat while playing the game. I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. So there are those people on there, but for the most part, like, it seems like a cool community, and that's an important part of me, at least, having fun on an online game. Is once the people get obnoxious, I'm just done. Like, I just leave. And that's been a lot of games that I tried, and I'm just annoyed by people, and so I just don't play it anymore. And so Rocket League hasn't been that, and that's been fun. So yeah, That's cool. It's a game, and I've been playing it, and so
yeah,
I've played a lot of Clash Royale on my phone because I have my phone at work, and so I could get away with playing that. I don't feel ethical about taking my Switch to work, or I might be playing more of that at work as well. But I could take a break really quick and play a match on Clash Royale.
So wait, hold
between
up.
My phone and Rocket League, that's my gaming time recently.
Hold up, back up. Did you just say you don't feel ethical about taking your Switch to work?
Uh-huh.
Seriously? That's what you just said? Because remember how I opened the show about that old 5-minute monologue about how being an adult sucks? This is what I'm talking about. Like, why would you even think of that? Like, how does that even come up? Like,
it's just a bad look to be sitting in my office playing on a Switch. So, yeah. That being said, one of my students has a Switch and we play Mario Kart, like, during lunch sometimes. And so I still get a little bit of a Switch fix at work from time to time.
Dude, I gotta get you out of there. That's freaky. It's like when you start talking about it, it's not a good look to be carrying a Switch in your back. Like, you gotta go do something else.
Yeah.
That's not good.
I mean, it's a good time. It just gotta be aware of stuff like that.
I'm nervous.
Adulting.
I'm nervous about it. Now you've made being an adult a verb. I'm nervous about that myself. I'm moving up at the office, and I'm a little afraid of that. I don't really like the idea, to be honest with you. Because it means I'm committed and I actually have to be there. So, I don't know. Like, I really just want to sit around and talk about video games. That's what I want to do.
And then I won't feel bad about bringing the Switch to work.
Right. Like, that's the dream. That
be
thing
encouraged.
Right there. Yes.
Yep.
And so, like, I'm going to say again, and I said this to Duff, like, if you guys want more of us, the way to get more of us is to find somebody to pay our bills so we don't have to go to our jobs, and we can do this. Because really, we want to do this, but we have to go to our jobs because supposedly that's what you do.
Bills and mortgages and such.
Yeah, and
good times.
Car insurance and
insurance. That's like the most adulty of adult things. Insurance is the most obnoxious thing in the world, and I pay for so much insurance.
Can we? This show is going to be all about being an adult, and that's what it's going to be about. Because the stuff that we have to pay for, I never thought about, like, yeah, that's something I'm going to have to worry about. Now it is, and it's really freaking annoying.
Yep.
Like, it's really, I'm like, I need that money. And it gets even more annoying. You know what it gets really annoying is when we talk to Chad. Cause like Chad, it's like
that dude.
It's like when we talk to Chad, it's like he ignores all of the adulting stuff, and it's like, look at all this cool gaming crap I got. Like,
I know he swears he works, and I believe him because he has money, obviously. But I just don't understand it.
Wait.
He's figured out a better system than we have. He tries to explain it and make it simple, and yet still, nope.
No, I'm not buying it at all. And the only thing I can figure out is that he lives in California, and everybody in California has money. And that's all I can figure out, because I don't have that kind of money. Like, I don't. So we don't know what Chad's doing.
Good for him.
But I have decided, here's what I'm thinking, okay? And I hate to even, like, admit this, but Chad might be, like, his calling in life might be to be the head of a multi-level marketing scheme. And, like we could be his first two converts. Like, here's how to live a life that's awesome like mine. we could be on the videos. Like, I'm Jamie, and I used to have to be an adult, and then I took Chad's program, and now I live my life to the fullest. Like, you're laughing, but you're sad. You know I'm serious. You know.
Hey, man, if we're the first two in, you know, everybody else comes under you in a pyramid scheme. So I feel like it works out for the people at the top.
We have spent a lot of time with Chad, and that's what he sounds like. Like,
yeah.
He sounds like if you would just get him a stage and a mic, then he could, like, convert us all to whatever it is that he's doing, and we would all live happy, healthy lives, and we would never really have to do anything that revolves around being an adult. And he's screaming right now, I have three kids!
That's
what he's screaming. And if you heard the round table last time, it sounded like a circus. But you know what I've decided? I've decided that he does all of that to, like, make the point that he has all of this going on.
I know.
I think it's a soundboard or
he
something.
He just sets it up.
Right. It's got to be like a soundboard with all these weird effects and stuff. And, like, I don't think it's really going on. And I would like to... I would really like to talk to his wife, Jamie, because apparently he's the one that stays home with the kids when they're home and does stuff, and she is, for lack of a better word, wearing the pants in that family, as I understand it. So I would really like to talk to her and know what's going on there, because for all we know, he could be, like, sitting at home in his underwear letting the kids blow stuff up behind him.
And just playing games.
Yeah.
Which seems like a good way to parent, honestly.
Yeah. And,
I get behind that.
And we talked about that old parenting with Chad thing, so that's another thing. See, that's part of the multi-level marketing scheme is that we have parenting videos to sell and stuff, and I really think it could be huge. Like, he's just that guy that he talks to. You don't really know what he said, but it sounds really good. Let's think about that, Chad. If that's really what's going on, we want in. But all that being said, there are games to talk about because there was a game conference last week.
Yeah, crazy enough.
Yeah. So should we get to that?
We should. Yeah. Let's jump into the news. Like I said, we've got quite a bit to get through today, so we'll have a good conversation, good stuff to talk about. We actually got tons of VR news today, so prepare yourself for VR. you've been enjoying a slight respite from VR recently. It's all coming back today. But we're going to start with Gamescom, because that was a big thing that happened since last we did a show. And so one of these conferences, the dependence on E3 as the big conference is getting less and less because there's all these other ones that are happening across the globe, really, at this point. That this is obviously big in Europe. Microsoft was big there. Sony's never been as big at Gamescom. Nintendo's never been as big at Gamescom, but a lot of the third-party people show up big there. And so we've got some big Microsoft news. Some Microsoft news. I don't know if it's big. It's been big for Chad. He already pre-ordered this Microsoft news. But lots of other little things that came out of it, including some game announcements and a little teaser. We did record video before launching the podcast, talking about some of the games that we saw at Gamescom. And so if you want to check those out, go by the Patreon, which you can find the link to at the top of GamingUncensored.com to be able to check that stuff out, because we had fun doing it. So all that being said, we'll go through just some of the bits of news from Gamescom, including starting with Microsoft. The Xbox One X is coming. It's a big deal for Microsoft. At Gamescom, they announced a special edition of the Xbox One X, which used to be called Project Scorpio, that was called the Project Scorpio Edition. And so now there's the Project Scorpio Edition of the Xbox One X, which is cool because it's kind of branded to the Project Scorpio thing, which honestly was a whole lot better of a name than Xbox One X, which is a terribly confusing name. And so, but our boy Chad, speaking of figuring out how to do life, went out and pre-ordered the thing right off the bat, which was good because the pre-orders of the thing sold out right off the bat. So
wait, what?
If you want one now, you're not going to get one.
Wait, it sold out?
Yeah.
But why?
That's a good question. And I still don't quite understand what, like, apparently, and reading both people who are at Gamescom and following the coverage from Gamescom, apparently Microsoft still hasn't done anything to really sell the thing. That was one of our big complaints at E3, is that they showed us this amazingly powerful hardware, and then all the games that they showed us didn't show off the hardware, you know, like just weren't that impressive visually. Not that they don't look like great games, they do, but they don't look like great games that necessitate an upgrade to even get the visual prowess, much less you know, whatever else. And so it appears that that's still the case, that Microsoft hasn't pulled out big games to show on Xbox One X to really highlight what the thing can do. And so, yeah, I maybe it was just a really limited supply of the Project Scorpio editions. I don't know. I haven't seen like how many they've said that they sold, but they probably made like ten
and said, "Look, right. We sold out." Yeah.
But Chad got one, and so Chad jumped on the bandwagon quick enough, apparently, which is cool because, like, if you're gonna get one, that's the one to get because it's a lot cooler. But yeah, I still, for Chad, because we've talked to Chad about this specifically and just knowing Chad, like, he's got a 4K TV, and so that's a big deal to him. He wants to be able to maximize that and whatever else. And 4K TV prices are coming down. You're hard-pressed to find TVs that aren't 4K now or soon. That's where we're going, and so it's going to make sense within the next year or so that everybody's going to start. If you're buying a new TV, it almost certainly is going to be a 4K TV. So being able to take advantage of that, I get. But I still, like, I need to see the games that persuade me to go buy this thing. My hope at this point is that when it comes out, it pushes down the price of the standard Xbox One enough that maybe I'll pick up a standard Xbox One because it gets cheaper.
And it's funny because I have Chad in my head. You know, I can hear Chad in my head going, everybody needs to pick up a 4K TV. They're like 10 bucks at Walmart. I mean, they're... They're not expensive at all. They're like cheaper than a high def TV. You should go pick it up. So for me, it's all about software. I haven't seen anything on the Xbox One period that I have to have, except, and I talked to a guy at work about this yesterday. What's up, Mondo? Actually, Thursday, I forgot what day it is, we were talking about this. The only thing that I really want on the Xbox right now is the Halo Anniversary Edition. And you know, they made this big deal about the crossplay and everything being available for Windows. Guess what's not? That's not. Yeah. And even Armando said, look, it needs to be, it should be, but it's not. And the reason why is because Microsoft's in control, and that's the one reason, really, you have to play their platform. I want the anniversary edition so bad that I can't stand it. But it's not coming to PC for, like, ever. So... Yeah. That's my only reason for even needing to buy an Xbox at this point, and that's not good enough.
Yeah, agreed. And as you alluded to there, almost everything is on PC at this point. At least their published stuff is on PC, and so it's like, if you've got a good PC, it tends to lessen the need for an Xbox One, and we've got good PCs, and that's great. We can still play Microsoft games, and I'm happy about that, but I don't have a need to go out and buy the hardware. And so with a PC, a PlayStation 4, and a Nintendo Switch, I feel like I have access to basically everything, and I don't need an Xbox One at this point. If you're not a PC gamer, I get why you get an Xbox One. But if you have a PC, I it seems like they just overlap too much.
Chad, can we mention that you need to get a PC? Because we were talking about this during the roundtable, and Cabbage selling us on the fact that we needed to play Destiny 2 because it's so awesome on the PC. That's how you sell a game, okay? If it's that much better on the PC, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to play it because Cabbage said it was awesome, okay?
Yeah. By the way, apparently Destiny 2 is phenomenal. Everybody that I've heard that's playing it just loves the thing, and so now I want to get my hands on it.
So that's my thing, is that if that's available on the PC and it's markedly better, I go back to the only reason I need the Xbox is for Halo. Yep. And I don't get it. I mean, yeah, I guess 4K Blu-ray would be awesome, I guess.
Like, right.
But yeah, to me, and I know it's apples and oranges, it doesn't matter. Like, I love when I go to the movies and they're 4K. And that's cool. I love the new projection tech. I love all of that. But when I go home and I'm watching stuff on my TV, it's not like I'm going, ew, that's not, I gotta go get 4K. I don't feel that way. Do you?
Yeah. No, I really don't. I don't have like a big home theater system or anything like that. You know, like we've got a modest TV and I like our TV. It's nice, but we've had it for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, you know, maybe even longer than that. It's 1080p and it does exactly what I need it to do at this point, you know. And yeah, I have yet to see what convinces me that I need to upgrade. Now, whenever my TV goes bad or whatever, I'll get, you know, a 4K TV. But it's not there yet, and it's probably not going to be there anytime soon. And so, yeah, it's just, I haven't felt that need yet that I'm missing out because of it. Once there's, like, the point that I feel like I'm legit missing out, and it's, like, going into, like, a Best Buy or whatever and seeing the display models of the 4K TVs, like, they're great. Like, they do look fantastic. I can't justify spending the money for that experience that it doesn't seem like it is worth it to me personally. I'm not dogging you if that's something that you do care about. It's just, it's not something that I'm, as a very cheap person willing to spend money on.
Dude, we should have just got snippets from the roundtable chat, because we could just put snippets in here of him arguing with us, because
right,
Chad's answer to what you just said would be just like, dude, just stop going out. You don't have to call you.
Right. Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
Because again, that seems like what people do. But I know, like, we don't go out. I don't know. We spend our money somewhere. I don't know where we spend it. It just goes away.
That's what actual life is like. That's why I want to live in Chad World, because I don't get it. It's like, do this thing and your whole life will be different. I mean, I don't know. So yeah, I'm glad for Microsoft that it's sold out. Maybe they won't suck quite so bad in the console sales thing, because right now they don't look real good. So
yeah, I mean, it's fine, you know. they're behind, and this doesn't seem like it's the thing that's going to give them the big boost to catch up. Though for the hardcore Microsoft gamer, it's going to be a big deal. And so I don't think it's a stupid idea of them to put out the Xbox One X. I think it's probably pretty smart, honestly. But I think they're doing a bad job of selling it. Like, I think they could hype it up and get a lot more people into it if they were doing a better job showing off.
You know what it is
capable of.
You know what it is. It's like they think they have the iPhone. Like,
yeah.
the iPhone, Apple just has to throw one out every year, and it doesn't matter what it does or what's new or whatever. Everybody has to have it. And I feel like Microsoft feels that way about the Xbox, that they have a similar product. And I just don't feel that way.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not a knock on Microsoft. It just... I just don't get it at this point, and for whatever that's worth. So, one other big potential story that came out of Microsoft from Gamescom. So at E3, we saw they announced the Age of Empires Definitive Edition. I think that was during the PC game show that came out, which we said was cool. You and I both played Age of Empires once upon a time.
Yes.
But we were like, it's cool, but it's not a new Age of Empires game. Well, at Gamescom, they announced first that they're also going to do the same kind of upgrade to Age of Empires 2 and 3 that they're going to get remastered. I love Age of Empires 3. I played a ton of. And so that's cool. I'm legit excited about that. But they also finally announced a new Age of Empires. Age of Empires 4 is officially coming. There's a teaser trailer. You go by the show notes and see it. It doesn't show you much. It doesn't show you any kind of gameplay. You don't get any idea what the game's going to look like or anything like that. Just a little teaser that shows some different military war garb from the ages of empires. I don't know, from across history. And so you could get an idea of maybe some of the kind of historical content they're going for. But it is official that there is a new Age of Empires game coming. It's a niche game, so it's not like a huge deal. But I like the first ones enough. I played LAN in college of Age of Empires, which is nerdy and dates us.
LAN, what's that? Oh,
I know, right? But it was fun, and I loved it. And so, I'll check out Age of Empires 4 for sure. I'm interested. It's one of those games that might get me playing some online stuff, some community stuff too. And so yeah, I'm pumped about it. Doesn't look like it's going to be anytime soon, but we should see more of Age of Empires 4 in the coming months and probably years at this point.
At this point we have so much to play that they can take whatever time they want.
Isn't that the
because
truth?
We're not ever going to get through all of the software that we had to play, so yeah. But I'm really excited about that. Maybe when we're 80, we'll have time to sit together and play some Age of Empires.
Isn't that a nice thought? We can hope.
Yes.
We'll see what happens. Sony was there, but didn't do a big. They didn't have a press conference. They didn't do any major announcements or any of that stuff. But they did have Detroit Become Human on the floor. They were showing off Uncharted and Gran Turismo, which Gran Turismo is a big deal. They announced apparently a Gran Turismo themed PlayStation 4. We've talked about in the past that we don't really get Gran Turismo, but it's a huge deal and we understand that. And so for a certain group of people, a Gran Turismo themed PS4 is going to be a really big deal. So I guess that's cool. But otherwise, not a ton from Sony.
You know what? I've realized that we are the old guy gaming podcast.
Yes.
We are, because and I'm about to say something. If the guys at work are listening, they're going to freak out. Because we don't understand Player Unknown Battlegrounds either. I see it streaming at work all the time. Because my buddy Armando, he has a screen up all the time with, game streams and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's forever streaming PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. I understand that it's really cool when it's you're running around with a bunch of people and, but I'm playing it and I'm watching, okay, Counter-Strike did this 15 years ago. But everybody around there is playing it. Everybody that's not us is playing it.
We've got some PlayerUnknown Battleground news coming up just to prove the fact that everybody's playing it.
Seriously, that guy is making crazy money. And it's really, I do not dispute the fact that it's really good. It is really, really, really good from a gameplay perspective. And I think that's what's selling it with the vehicles and that type of stuff. Because vehicles are a big deal, and that wasn't really ever available in Counter-Strike. But man, it's a big deal, and I think it must all be about the gameplay. And we're just not into it.
Yeah. Which maybe if we played it, we would. We gotta give it a shot at some point. I've been waiting. It's still an early access, believe it or not, with all the crazy hype it has. Very much like Minecraft was in beta forever, while it was a massive, massive deal. And so I'm hoping one day it's gonna be a little bit cheaper, or they'll do a free to play weekend. That's what I most hope for, is they'll eventually do a free to play weekend. That I could try it out, because I just don't know enough about it to put down $30 or $40, whatever it is. It's not a full price game, but it's not $20 either. It's somewhere in between there. And so, I need to get my hands on it before put some money down.
Again, that's the only reference that I can make is Counter-Strike, because it feels like Counter-Strike to me.
Yeah,
and
seems fair from what I've seen of it. I think I would agree.
And for crying out loud, somebody tell me if I'm wrong, but Counter-Strike was almost free. I mean, I'm not going to say it was completely free, but it was almost free. So, and this guy's made a ton of money. And, and we're not, the reason you never see the price go down, we were talking about this at work the other day, the reason you never see the price go down is because that's when the hackers and the cheaters come in, and the guy can't, the guy that makes it can't stand it.
That's a good point. I've never thought of it in that way, but having it, having to buy into it, having to spend the money on it, does make it where you would imagine that the user base is going to take it more seriously. So,
and they do.
Maybe that's a positive.
They do.
Yeah, apparently it's a great community, and so yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it makes sense to keep it that expensive.
We are
interesting argument.
We are totally the old man gaming podcast. Like, seriously, we're in our 30s, folks, and we feel like the old man gaming podcast. Because I know it's great. I know it is. I just don't understand why.
Yep. Me neither. By the way, big get for Microsoft, because it is coming to the Xbox as well. And so a reason to play at Xbox, maybe, except for the fact that it's right there on your PC, and so if you have a good PC, you don't have to worry about it.
Which, by the way, because we said it on the air, you know, we're gonna have copies in our inboxes in like 2 days.
I wouldn't complain.
Because that's what happens to us now,
right? Which is great. We just suddenly drop the name of video games and people buy them for us, so we'll take it. If anybody wants to do that, for sure, give it a try. So,
especially, hey, this is what I want to know, okay? We definitely want to play it if some of you guys that are supporting us play it. Like Duff.
For sure.
Duff, Narc, who else? Cabbage, Spider, if y'all are playing it, We want to play it because you support us. We'll get in with you. I am the worst candidate for Player Unknown Battlegrounds because I just don't have the reflexes. But I will get on a server and I will suck with you guys. That's what's gonna pull us in more than anything else is playing with you guys, because I literally at this point go to work. And I talk about and I'm going to go off the rails here for a second, sir. But I go to work on a regular basis and talk about the fantastic community that we have. And I don't even know how we got it. I don't even know how it happened. Like, we looked into it. Like, I talk about how good you guys are and all the stuff you get done, and the guys at work are like, what? Nobody, how'd you do that? You know, and they're watching these YouTubers and streamers that make all this money, and we're somewhere in the middle, you know, and it's like they're trying to figure out how we got there. The thing is, we don't know. And so if you guys are playing anything, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's Player Unknown Battlegrounds or whatever, even Minecraft, I'd play Minecraft with you guys, and I totally don't understand Minecraft. So that, for us, I don't want to speak for you, sir, but for me, that's the entry point.
I agree with that. I think especially with a game like that that's dependent on the community, having a connection in the community is super helpful.
Or eight.
Yeah. Or 20 or whatever. Yeah, that would make a difference for sure for us. And so it would be cool to get in there and play it with somebody and understand what everybody else sees in this game. That's, again, blown up is a huge deal. We didn't know anything about it at E3, and we admitted that we didn't know anything about it, and everybody was like, how the crap do you not know about this game? And so now we know about it. We still don't quite get it, but we understand it's a really big deal. And it's cool. I mean, I'm happy for the dude. He's having success. It's a good thing, so... it looks like a cool game, cool community. Well, I'm sure we'll get into it at some point.
Like
sooner than later would be fun. Like, we'll see what happens.
Like so. Tomorrow, because we'll have two copies in our inbox tomorrow. Thank you very much, whoever does that.
That's how it works. So. It would be nice. It would be fun. So, anyway, Nintendo is also there. Again, they don't make a big deal of Gamescom. They don't do a lot of big announcements, though they did a little bit. They showed off a new level of Super Mario Odyssey, which we actually talked about on one of the Patreon videos. So if you want to see the Luncheon Kingdom, kid you not, the Luncheon Kingdom, go by Patreon and you can see us chat about the Luncheon Kingdom from Super Mario Odyssey. Also showed off a little bit of the new Pokken Tournament game. Pokemon, we admittedly don't get that still, is what it is. They showed off a new SNES themed 3DX, which is cool. I would love to have the thing because I love the Super Nintendo. We've talked about that a lot. I think it's the best console ever made. However, it's both Super Famicom themed and apparently only coming to Japan, and that's not nearly as cool to me. I want like the American Super Nintendo because I'm American, dang it.
I don't even have a response to that. Like you I'll tell you what you did. You went all Texan there for a second.
Right.
Like I thought that you moved to Dallas and that kind of got beat out of you, but you went like old school person right there.
It's back and forth. For whatever it's worth, if you want a 3DS that kind of looks like a Super Nintendo, at this point it doesn't look like you're probably going to get it because you probably don't live in Japan. But it is a thing, and again, just those are the kind of weird little things that come out of Gamescom and these other conferences that are always interesting because you just don't necessarily expect that. And so, a few other things from Gamescom. All the big publishers were there, and so EA showed off some stuff. FIFA was big there, but also some more Star Wars Battlefront 2. Showing off some of the Starfighter stuff, some of the kind of dogfighting elements of it, which looks cool. That's maybe not the part I'm most excited about, but I'm interested to try it. Destiny 2, of course, was a big game there because Destiny 2 is a big game right now. Bethesda showed off a lot of VR with Skyrim and Doom and Fallout, all of which are going to be out in VR, their VR modes this year. November for Skyrim, December 1 for Doom, and then December 12th for Fallout 4. Mm-hmm. So lots of Bethesda VR coming if you're excited about that.
Can we have a quick Bethesda discussion?
Yeah, just, for sure.
Just off the rails again real quick, because that's what we do. So at the shop, I have been going in and helping out. And I'm around two guys that are significantly younger than me. And they play a lot more video games than we do. Because apparently they have that adult thing figured out like Chad does.
We just suck at it, apparently.
I don't know. They have figured out. And one thing that I hear a lot of, like, we'll talk about Bethesda, and then I hate Bethesda. All they do is re-release Skyrim 20 times and re-release Fallout 20. Like, you know, that's what I hear from those two guys. Is all it is they get one or two games and re-release them to death. And I wanted to get your two cents on that because it does happen. But my argument to that will be and has been, they get re-released because they're really good. Like,
right.
They're it doesn't matter whether it's Doom or Fallout or Skyrim or whatever. They get re-released and remastered because they're some of the best games out there. And I feel like you feel the same way, but I wanted your two cents on that.
Yeah, for sure. And on that, they get re-released because people buy them when when they get re-released. And so, like, there's a market for it, obviously, because they wouldn't be doing it if it hadn't proven lucrative in the past. They wouldn't continue to do that. And so, yeah, I get where people feel like that's a money grab. But I also say don't buy it, you know? Like, Skyrim is a phenomenal game, and if you bought it 7 years ago, whenever it came out or whatever, and you haven't felt a need to buy it again, cool. Like, no problem. Don't do it. Like, whatever. And if you thought it was awesome and ran out to pick up the special edition when it came out, cool. Like, awesome. Like, you know, like, it just, I don't get how that reflects so poorly on Bethesda. Like, even we talked with Cabbage about this on a roundtable a while back, right after E3, about that kind of mindset towards Bethesda, specifically with VR, that these VR titles are going to launch and be full price games potentially, and how that feels like a money grab. And that's fair. I'm not going to pay $60 for Skyrim VR or Fallout 4 VR. The trick is you like, if you don't want to pay for it, don't pay for it. You know, like, if you think it's a money grab, don't go out and buy it, you know? And if you're cool, like, with picking it up, then go pick it up. And again, obviously enough people have been cool about it to make them want to continue doing it, because they have continued doing it. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. But if that's your argument against Bethesda, like, the thing against them at EA was they didn't show anything that was really new. They showed a couple of things. But, like, they showed off that Wolfenstein game that looked fantastic, you know? And so, like, you and I were totally pumped about Bethesda, and it felt like we were in a minority there. And I still don't get it. Like, I still don't. Like, it's just, it feels, like, weird, like, team support kind of thing.
Well,
you know?
I was gonna,
which we get into. Like, to be fair, like, let me clarify. Like, I'm not saying we're above that. We do plenty of that ourselves. We dogged EA for years about stuff that's probably pretty similar to why people are dogging Bethesda now. And so,
well,
yeah, it's just a opinion thing.
Again, let's go back to the Old Man Gaming Show for a bit, because I feel like, I think the team aspect is something that you brought up. Bethesda is what we grew up with, okay? It's not PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. It's not insert game here. Like, I'm trying to think of the newer...
new and trendy stuff. Minecraft.
Right,
which
Minecraft.
Is an us and, yeah.
It's not we
have a certain level of nostalgia for Elder Scrolls, going back to when we were young.
Right, Elder Scrolls. And
or we have a certain amount of nostalgia for Wolfenstein, because Wolfenstein 3D is one of the first shooters I ever played, you know?
Right.
Like,
and,
yeah.
And I think about Blizzard sort of in the same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think about BlizzNet. You know, people, I've noticed, sort of tend to talk trash on Blizzard, and I'm like, why? I mean, they got World of Warcraft, which is the greatest MMORPG ever, and it's still, you know, it's been out 8,000 years, and they still got 6 million subscribers.
Right, they're still releasing content for it. Like, I just saw the other day, like, the everything you need to know about the new whatever whatever update, and I'm like, holy cow! Like, what are you even still releasing on that game? But yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I really do. And I know we've been talking about this a lot, but I think it has a lot to do with an age thing. Like, I really think it's an age kind of
maybe
deal.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of people that were dogging Bethesda are about the same age we are. So I think it's more, maybe not as much of age as it is just personal experience growing up and what you were into and what you played, maybe. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't think you get it either.
No.
You know, I think we're both just trying to figure out, like, trying to rationalize it.
Like, at this point, when we're sitting around at the shop talking about this stuff, I'm just trying not to get shot. You know, like, I'm trying to keep my mouth shut and not get shot. And it's hard to keep my mouth shut when I get an email from, and I did this the other day, I got an email from Narc that was like, here's a game. And I pulled one of the guys over and said, look, because I didn't think he believed me when I said that happened. He was like, how does that happen? You know, I really do. I sit around and I'm like, trying not to get beat up, because I feel like the odd man out in the room, to be honest with you. Sure. And you work at a college. I don't know if you feel the same way because of that or...
Yeah, for me, when I talk to my students about video games, then there's an age thing there. And I mean, they love video games. They play Mario Kart constantly. It's absurd how much Mario Kart they play. They're a little bit more limited in scope, I think, for the most part. Like, they don't play PC games. They're not hardcore on that side of things. I don't think they would know who Bethesda is, you know. Like, that's not their world necessarily. But it is interesting to talk to them about their gaming experiences, both when they were young. I was talking to one of my students the other day, and he talked about how Super Mario Sunshine was one of his favorite games ever because he was a kid when the GameCube came out. You know, he was like 7 playing Super Mario Sunshine. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm old, first of all, you know. But yeah, that makes sense because you're nostalgic towards what was popular when you were young, you know. And so, okay, I get that. And it's a different kind of disconnect there in that way because of age. But we still, like, we play Mario Kart and we all love Mario Kart because we all grew up on Mario Kart. I grew up on Mario Kart from the Super Nintendo. They grew up on Mario Kart from the Wii or the GameCube. Was there a Mario Kart on the GameCube?
I think there was, yeah.
There was on the Wii. There was on the DS. And so they grew up on a different level of Mario Kart than I did. But we all love Mario Kart. And so we all get into Mario Kart. When I talk about, like, on Mario Kart 8, there's the Super Nintendo version of Rainbow Road as one of the maps. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. And they're like, really? You played that? You know, like the idea that, like, I played the original Mario Kart on Super Nintendo makes me the old man gamer. Like, it's the theme for the show today. Mm. But yeah, there's definitely an element to that.
To me, it's crazy because, like I said, Armando, one of the guys I talk with a lot, is very vocal about the fact that he was born in 1990. And yeah. I'm like, he was with a customer the other day and said that, and I was like, dude, don't tell people that. Yeah. They're like, don't do that. And it's a different, like, I was doing stuff in 1990. I had stuff going on in right? 1990.
I have applicants right now to come to college that were born in the year 2000.
Yeah, I...
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't approve.
Like, we were almost on the air in the year 2000.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
We were like a year away from meeting each other in the year 2000.
It's nuts. Yeah. It's just the craziest thing.
So, you know? like the reason we talk about all this is because I feel like gaming is very much, and I hate it, but gaming is very much becoming cliquish.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very cliquish, kind of like high schoolish. And I may be thinking about it because I'm playing Life is Strange, and man, that is...
You've just got this teenage angst running through you.
That is like some major trauma that I've never experienced in a video game ever. But I just like, I don't like the way things are feeling right now. And I think the reason we bring this up is I feel like you feel the same way. That gaming is awesome. I'm glad to be a gamer, but I feel like it's extraordinarily segmented right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't disagree with that. And I don't think that's necessarily a terrible thing either. I think the gaming community is so big and so wide at this point that there's the ability to be so segmented. That PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds could exist for as long as it did before we ever even knew about it. You know, that's a cool thing. Like, the world of gaming is so saturated, and whatever you're into, you can find that in the gaming world somewhere. You know, like, you can go and figure out whatever kind of gameplay mechanic you think is fun. There is fantastic games that do that, not just games that exist, but really, really high quality fun games that exists doing that with great communities around them, great developers that are now more and more engaged with the people who make the games. Like when we were young, again, we're old adults and whatever, but when we were young, the idea that you could interact directly with a game developer, like it would never even cross my mind, you know, like that wasn't something that I would even think of, much less think being possible, much less like pursuing, you know. But at this point and where we are, like you can go tweet people directly and like say, hey man, I love your game, and they're like, cool, awesome, that's great. And like you can open up conversations with people that make games, and that builds this community, and you get so much more feedback about what you want in a game, what the audience the anticipation participation is going to be, like whatever. It's just cool, and it creates this kind of segregated thing where people go to the things that they really enjoy, and it's less broad. And you still got those AAA titles that kind of brings everybody back. But it makes it feel like teams at times where you're like fighting against each other, but it also gives everybody a place to feel like they're connected and accepted in whatever they game. And so all that to say, pros and cons, there's good and bad to it. But I think we're in a good place gaming-wise.
Which, by the way, we talked about the fact since we turned the mic on that we're going to get Pavel back from 11-bit, because that's pretty awesome. We've got new gaming stuff from them over on Patreon that we talked about, which I don't know if you have that in the show or not, but,
yeah, we do.
Just talking about being able to interact with people. That's a great example for me, because that dude just showed up on the show and it's like, hey, nice to meet you guys.
Right. So, like, how super cool is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's ridiculous. That's where we are in gaming now, and overall, I think that's a good thing. So, one quick thing before we get to our segment for this week, from Nintendo, specifically about the holiday season. Nintendo's president is warning: there's a good chance that there won't be Switches available for Christmas. So, if you haven't got one yet, and you were thinking, "Hey, well, surely they'll have a whole bunch out by the time we get to the holiday season," maybe not. I can't believe this thing is still as hard as it is to find.
I think that's good for Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Definitely good for Nintendo. I don't think they're sad about that as much as they're getting flack about it. I think they're plenty happy to have a product that they can't keep on the shelves, as anybody probably would be.
And this is this is the second one in 10 years. That's insane.
Yeah. And then the SNES Classic is going to be in the same boat. The NES Classic, of course, was very much in the same boat. It's just, yeah. And you can make an argument. They do some of it to get some publicity. But at some point, like, publicity doesn't get you very much if you don't have products to sell. You know, like, at some point, like, you got to have stuff out on the shelves for people to give you their money. And so, do they play up the shortages from time to time? I think absolutely they do. But is it a great idea for them and something that they're being really strategic about to always be sold out of a thing? I don't think so. Like the fact that it's still hard to find, the fact that I still see people announce when it's available at certain stores blows my mind. And that's probably going to continue through Christmas. It's going to be a really sought after Christmas gift that released in March, which is a little nuts. So good for Nintendo. It's a fun little console. Like they kind of killed it with the thing, and so I get it. So good for them. And if you want to Switch, good luck.
I'm glad we have one, and I'm glad you're coming at Christmas. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. Both of those things are fair. So for right now, we're going to get to our segment for today, which excuse me, comes to us from our boy Brigham, and it's what I love about this is at the beginning of it, he talks about how it took us so long to play the last segment we played from him, and this one, it's taken us a very long time to play. He submitted this back in May, so he's going to reference the last show that was a few shows back at this point. It just cracks me up that he gets on to us, and then we do the exact same thing. So our apologies, Brickham, but here it is. He's going to talk to us about PlayStation 4 and some stuff in life and that kind of stuff. We'll come back and we'll talk about VR. So we'll let Brickham take it from here.
What's going on, Jamie and Tommy? Brickham here, out playing my dogs again. Well, just listen to the latest episode, and man, that segment I sent you guys, that was a long time ago. I didn't mean to come off that I didn't like the PS4, it's just it didn't have the family sharing that I enjoyed. Still love the PS4. Finally booted up yesterday. I finally got time to play games, finally feeling better because I finally got a normal life again. As you guys know, I've been working two jobs, killing myself. 64 weeks exactly. Full-time at night, full-time during the day, 2 hours of sleep between each job, and now I and finally, my mom has finally got to the point where she can afford to where I can have just one job. It's not really afford, but to the point where we can sustain ourselves with me having one job. Still give her plenty of my money to help keep going. But it was getting to the point where it was quite literally probably killing me. My family doctor found out where I lived and was visiting my store every month just to check up on me. Of course, the dog's going crazy right now. I was like, I started a new job, and I left it in 2 days. I know, irresponsible. But I did not burn bridges from my other two jobs, thankfully. I was very close to doing so, but I didn't. It was going to be supposedly an IT job, but didn't work out that way. It was totally not an IT job. It was, I don't even want to talk about it. It was a disgrace. Bad company. Small little company that had been around for 20 years. They're doing something right, but one thing that irked me that I didn't like. Plus, if you have a real job, people take advantage of having a real break room, a real working restroom. and when you find out you have a job that doesn't have that, man, it's a big downer. So I'm going back to Office Depot, still a place that I still love. They didn't process any paperwork, so I was just transferring to the West store. So I'm in a bike ride away from my work and got another raise. So I'm capped out, most I can make. 6 raises in 4 years. That's more than anyone else has made in the state of Kansas, I found out. Make more than any non-management in Kansas or in Wichita. So that's pretty cool. At least I'm expecting that one. From what I've heard in my store, I make more. But I'm pretty happy about it. I'm having a normal life again. I love the PS4. I booted up yesterday. I played, I checked out the Tales from Borderlands. Not my thing. The animation was really wonky. You can see where it just cuts to a certain type of animation, and from a stick type figure almost to, just very jarring, I guess you would call it. I also downloaded the Abzu. Didn't get it. I played for about 30 minutes. It didn't make any sense. You're a little thing, person, swimming in the ocean. And you got this little light thing that helps you once you find it, and it follows you around. And you discover areas. The graphics very cartoony. Looks okay. Music is not my thing. I actually don't like really. I'm really not a huge fan of game music. Never have been. I always turn on a podcast or something. But game music, it just for some reason I have never found a game that the music grabs me. The only thing I have listen to is the funny talk stuff on Grand Theft Auto. It's like, I can't remember, but this is so hilarious. The little talk radio when you're driving the car, they have some funniest shit ever. But I'm just pretty excited. I finally got a normal life again. I'm gonna have 5 days of work, sleep all night, like a normal person, you know. It's different, it's already taking a little bit to get adjusted to. Going from 40 to 50,000 steps a day to maybe 7 to 11,000 steps a day, your body will notice it makes a big difference. Like my legs, like Les's leg syndrome is like restless leg syndrome, not Les's. it's a real deal. Like my body just wants to go to work. I feel kind of bored. I feel like I'm wasting time. I've gotten so used to working 70 to 80 hours a week. But I'm kind of ready for a new start. It feels good. Sun is shining, everything. Well, I can't wait for the E3 podcast. I thought I'd give you guys a heads up. Still love the PS4, still love the Xbox. PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, the greatest game of all time. I've been playing it like crazy. I said 15 hours in 2 days. Fucking love that game. Well, thanks for playing the segment. You guys are the awesome. Greatly enjoy it. Deuces.
Hello. It's me. you should check out BammingUncensored.com. When you go there, we will have cake for you, and a party, a big party, where all your friends will be, including your best friend, the Companion Cube.
Cuphead, baby!
That's right.
I love
it. Not only is the animation super cool, the music is super cool, too.
I love it.
By the way, I loved playing video game music right after Brigham singing. He doesn't really enjoy video game music that much.
Yeah,
that just cracks me up.
That's pretty funny. It also scares me how much he said he was putting into PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds.
I know. If we would have listened to that segment before E3, we wouldn't have known what it was.
That's wow.
Apparently one of the best games ever, according to Brigham. That's high praise. We got to get our hands on the thing at some point.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Like I said, next couple of days it'll just show up. So
You are likely right. I'll mention, because we've been teasing it. We do have a little bit of PlayerUnknown Battleground has come up so often, I'll just mention it now. 10 million people on the thing so far, still in early access. Also set the Steam record for the most concurrent players at one time, beating Defense of the Ancients, I think, had the record before that. And so it's a big deal. Really, really, really big deal. So, yeah, we'll check it out soon.
You know how we were talking about having jobs and not really having time to do anything that we want to do? Hearing about that game and all the success that guy's having, like, we did the wrong thing.
Right.
seriously, we did the wrong thing, because I was talking to the guys at work about streaming and getting into some of that kind of stuff, because that's the latest request from Duff and a couple other guys, is they want me to start streaming stuff. Well, I don't really have enough bandwidth, and I'm not really set up to do it. But one thing, I was talking to the guys at work about, you know, kind of what some of the most successful streamers do. And they're like, they just play whatever they want, 6 hours a day. And I'm like, why can't I do that?
No.
This is the key to the whole thing, is you just got to talk to your viewers. And I don't get that either, because why would you want me to talk while I'm playing video games? Like, I mean, we can do this for 2.5 hours twice a month, but it's really hard to be funny when you're playing video games. Like,
all that being said, whenever we played Zelda during E3, that was a fun time when we streamed it. We interacted with people on Twitch, and yeah.
But it was really hard to come up with 3 hours worth of jokes.
Right.
Mean, like,
yeah, you gotta be constantly spontaneous and hopefully somewhat entertaining, and that's hard to do for especially sustained amount of time. So guys that are doing that and successful at them, man, good for them. It's a crazy thing that's like a way to make money in modern society, but here we are.
Yeah, and I'm just depressed that we're not involved. That's all I'm saying.
Because we're old. We were just a little bit behind that whole thing,
like,
getting kicked
seriously,
up.
You love your job, and I've been in a really good situation, but are we not getting to the point where we might be willing to quit our jobs and go to something else? I am.
Right.
I don't know about you, but if something like that came up, I think I'd take it.
I'm all for playing more video games, and so
yes,
what we could do to get there would be a good thing. So, thank you, Brigham, for a segment. We're looking forward to a new one that you'll send us soon. I think we might even have another one sent from Brigham in the queue that we'll probably play 3 months after you send it. So, apologies for that.
Okay,
but we will get to it because we play them all.
We need to tell new people, because we know there's new people out there, because there's always new people. If you're listening, you're trying to figure out what the deal is with the segments, you submit the segments and we play them eventually.
Yes.
when we were doing this every week, we would play one or two segments a week, And yep. we never, ever had enough, and we were screaming at people for segments. Now we're adults, and we have to have jobs and various other sucky life things. And now we're only doing this twice a month, and we have more segments than we can play. And so there's that. But yep. all of that being said, please submit a segment 509 game 210. We that's our voicemail line. It will cut you off after 3 minutes, but don't worry, call us back and we will splice it together. Or you can email us gaminguncensored@gmail.com. We will play them.
Yeah. Brigo did a SoundCloud link. Emailed us a SoundCloud link. Works perfectly. We'll do that too. We don't care. As long as we can get the audio from it, we're going to play it. So, yeah, whatever you want to talk about, it doesn't have to be on topic to anything that we talk about or even games. We just want to hear from you guys. That's still remains one of my favorite parts of doing this show is hearing you guys talk to us and everybody else listening about what you're playing or what you're doing or scratching off lottery tickets or whatever.
We will play anything!
Yes.
We said that back to today. It's still true. We will play anything.
Absolutely. So 509 game 210, as Jamie mentioned, or gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Also, really quick mention our Patreon supporters, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, and Kavosh. Thank you guys for your support. As always, we appreciate it a ton. There is new content on and coming to the Patreon now and for at least a little while because we record a whole bunch of it today. And so enjoy that. If you are not currently part of the Patreon community, go by gaminguncensored.com. There's a link right there at the top of the page. Give what you can. If you like us, you want to support us, help us buy and play more video games. We're all about that, and we will reward you with some content. If you just want to listen, that's cool, too. We love that either way.
And I will tell you, I don't think I told you this, but Duff has a habit of texting me late at night. I think because nice. He knows I'm awake. So
yeah.
at like 11 p.m., I get texts from Duff, and we have conversations. And he tells me the other night, he says, "You need to do this for a living. Why are you not playing video games for a living?" And that's where the streaming thing came up. He's like, "You guys, you don't need jobs. You need to be doing this. This is your thing. You need to be doing this." And so we're talking about it. He's like, "Dude, I'm going to hook you up. It's going to happen. I'm going to hook you up." And knowing that guy the way we do, I don't put it past him.
Yeah.
I really don't. Yeah.
Don't doubt Duff.
And it makes me, I tell you what, we talk about the Patreon, we talk about everything else, but this is the one thing in my life that because of the way that you guys react to it, makes me believe that we've been right all these years to keep doing it. And so it means a lot to us right now to be in the space where we are, because there was a time period there where it was pretty dry. There was not a lot going on, and we didn't know if anybody was listening. I don't know if anybody's listening now, but we keep getting free stuff, so somebody's
right.
listening. And it just really makes it a whole lot easier to do this show.
Yeah, 100% agree.
So, all of that being said, should we get back into the news?
We should, and as promised, we've got plenty of VR stuff to talk about, starting with price cuts to VR, which is a good thing, because VR is expensive, and so if you can get it a little cheaper, it's going to help. We talked about, I think it was on the last show, that Oculus had cut their prices down by a couple $100s. HTC Vive has now done the same. You can get the full HTC Vive package, which is full room scale, which is still the best way to experience VR, and the Vive is the best company doing the full room scale for $599, which is still a big chunk of cash, but that's $200 less than $799 where it was. And they're having more deals for a while. You could even pick it up a little bit cheaper than that. If that's too expensive for you, like I said, Oculus is at $499, I believe, right now. They had a summer deal going that is even $399 for a while, which is nuts. I think It's back up to $499. But either way, those are both great high-end options. There's cheaper options. The PlayStation VR is cheaper. If you don't have that, we're even going to talk about another way or a couple other ways that are going to be cheaper that you can get into the VR world. But if you want the full, like, if you've got the PC to do it and want the full real deal experience, you and I think both agree that the Vive is the way to do that.
There is absolutely no question. And I get frustrated because I can't take full advantage of the whole room scale thing because of the chair. But man, there, as far as what's out there, it is still the top of the line tech out there. And it's
absolutely,
and if they get controllers like what Oculus is doing right now, it's gonna be a complete step up.
I love the fact that there's enough players in the VR marketplace to keep it competitive, to keep pushing each other, that there's this good competition that's happening that's pushing the tech forward. We'll talk about here in a second with even some of the stuff Microsoft's doing. But just between Oculus and the Vive, with the controller upgrades and everything else. But yeah, it's a good time to be in VR. At this point, it's been a little dry with content, but there's quite a bit of content out there, especially PlayStation VR just has the games, man. They just got a ton of content that looks really good. And so wherever you're playing VR at, it seems like there's good things happening there. And I haven't had it set up in my house for the past probably 2 months. I just haven't had time, to play with it. We've got Star Trek Bridge Crew from our boy Duff. So thank you, Duff, for that. Sitting and ready. And so I might try to fire it up this weekend. That's a hope of mine to be able to play with that a little bit.
You know what's sad? Yeah. Is that it's 3 o'clock on Saturday, and we're talking about this weekend. I'm looking at,
right.
I'm looking at my watch, going, "Okay,
sorry, half over.
I've got like maybe 6 hours of time where I can do what I want." Because you and I both know Sundays are ridiculous for both of us. So we got about 6 hours left in our weekend. Talking about being adults, but man, I'm so looking forward to Bridge Crew for one reason, and I think this is why Duff bought it. I think it would frustrate a lot of people, but Star Trek is, again, something that we grew up with, right?
Yeah.
And one thing that you have not really seen in video games is how to adequately recreate the atmosphere of sitting on the bridge with the view screen and the whole nine yards. And I think people look at this game and think, I don't want to sit at a console and push buttons and that whole thing. I'll tell you right now, I do. I want to have the view screen in front of me. I want to be sitting at the console. I want to take the shields up. I want to, I want to worry about the phasers. I want all of that.
Yep.
And if you can, I mean, we talk about, we haven't really talked about force feedback in a while, but you got to know what makes this game exciting is when there's actually a battle going on. And so when you got the card or whoever it is screaming at you to get the shields up because we're under attack, I could just imagine those controllers shaking in my hand or in your hand as you know, we're taking a phaser hit. And it just the idea of being on that bridge makes me giddy.
I completely agree. I'm thrilled about it. What do you feel about the new Star Trek series that's coming out? Have you seen much about that?
There is one? Holy cow! do tell, sir.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's called Star Trek Discovery, I think. It's pre the original series. It takes place like 15 or 20 years before.
That's awesome.
Original Captain Kirk series. It has the chick from The Walking Dead in it. I can't remember what her name was in the Walking Dead. But anyway, it looks cool. I'm excited about it.
I'm excited.
New Star Trek on TV this fall on CBS, I believe.
I'm excited because that's what Enterprise was. Remember Enterprise?
Uh-huh.
That was, nobody liked Enterprise. I loved it. I watched all four seasons. I think I sort of kind of have a man crush on Scott Bakula, and that's the other reason that I watched it, because I'm like, dude, it's Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap, which we could talk
about. One of the best shows of all time.
Yeah, we could talk about Quantum Leap forever. Like, there's people listening to the show going, what? Quantum Leap?
What was the name of the little virtual dude?
Al.
Al. Yes.
Yeah.
I loved Al. Al was my favorite.
Al and Ziggy was the computer.
Ziggy. Yeah. Yep, Ziggy was the computer, and Al was the virtual dude, and all the, like, he was a hologram or whatever all the time. Not really a virtual dude, but
if you,
Quantum Leap is fantastic.
If you have not seen Quantum Leap, go to Netflix and find it. It's worth your time.
Isn't Scott Bakula on an NCIS now?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yes. That dude. Just everywhere.
He literally has worked
in, prolific TV actor for 3-4 decades now.
Yeah. And he still looks good.
Okay. I think you do have a face.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that takes some talent. Some of those guys, they don't look so good these days. I mean, like,
I love how we went from the vibe to Scott Bakula that quickly.
Like, I love Shatner, but he needs a little help.
Man, Shatner's old.
Yeah, but I love him. I love him.
I do too.
I keep hearing rumors that they might bring Boston Legal back, and I'm like, please.
The dude that did Boston Legal, I don't even know how we got to this, but he's got a new show on AT&T has a streaming service now, I think it is. But it's like a Stephen King show that he's running that's supposed to be good. So, yeah, there's that too.
Wow. See, did we mention we love TV? On top of everything else, on the list of podcasts we need to do before we die, I would love to do a TV podcast.
Yeah.
Because we like TV as much as we like video games.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that good. So, yeah, I'm excited about new Star Trek. I didn't even know what was happening. Now I'm pumped.
Yeah.
And it's on broadcast TV, which is even cooler. Because that's where that needs to be. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Star Trek belongs on broadcast TV. I love the Star Trek movies, but Star Trek belongs on broadcast TV. I grew up with the Next Generation. I was a little young for the original series, but the Next Generation was my jam, like, all through, like, junior high school. I love the Next Generation, so yeah pumped about
you
it.
You know what? There wasn't anything cooler than Geordi LaForge in the Next
That's
Generation.
That's right.
Like, seriously.
And the fact that he was the Reading Rainbow dude, you know.
Absolutely love me some LeVar Burton.
Just amazing.
Yep.
That's great. So, all that being said, back to VR with Microsoft. Microsoft is officially debuting their mixed reality, both software-wise and hardware-wise, next month. October 17th is the release date for both the mixed reality system on the Fall Creators Update for Windows, and then also that it's the same date that the headsets that we've talked about, some of these from Acer, HP, Lenovo, Dell, all these third-party headsets that are, I guess, the HoloLens. I don't know if Microsoft's going to have their first-party one. I don't really understand what they're doing at this point, to be honest with you. There's going to be new VR hardware on the market in a month, is the gist of it. That's going to be not just virtual reality, but getting more into this augmented/mixed reality thing. And so these headsets, a little bit cheaper than what the Vive or the Oculus Rift are. Not a ton cheaper, but a little bit. So with the motion controllers, which it seems like you're going to have to buy the motion controllers for any of these. The bundles are $450. But these all work off of what's called the inside-out room scale technology, in that you don't have to have the separate sensors, that the sensors come from the headset out, as opposed to having to have sensors in your room pointed in. And so it will make them a little bit more user-friendly, setup-friendly in that way than like the Vive is, where you have to place the sensors, you got to make sure that they're stable, you got to map out what your playable area is, all that kind of stuff. But I'm way more interested, honestly, in the mixed reality side of things, of what they're going to be able to do with that kind of stuff in the context of gaming. And so I'm excited for this tech, because I think it's different in a way than everything else that's out there, and it's going to push the whole system forward a bit.
I think everybody is more excited about AR than they are VR, because I think AR is every day. Like AR is what you do on a daily basis. It's walking down the street and getting stats or news or whatever in your glasses that we've seen forever. That's where that's going. Yeah. And I think that's why people are excited about that.
I definitely think there's something to that.
Because it
feels futuristic.
It has practical uses to it.
Sure. Yeah. These first headsets won't. They'll still be tethered and everything. But it's going to be they will have practical uses. They won't not. But they won't have the, like, where we're going with, like, the Google Glass thing, because that's ultimately kind of the end point. I don't know if I want to say end point, but one of the destinations we're getting to along this whole virtual reality, augmented reality thing. It's not long into the future where everybody's going to have information in front of them all the time. Like, that's part of the next 10 years, I would guess. This is a big step forward on that, for sure, of integrating the virtual reality environments with your actual surroundings.
I gotta find an ophthalmologist or something. Look. Seriously.
Fair.
I'm afraid of what it's going to do to you, because you're the ultimate multitasker. So you'll be looking at stuff in the glasses, watching TV, working on a computer. Like, you'll have 8 zillion things going on.
Yes, it's terrifying. Literally terrifying. So on that, one of the things that Microsoft is teasing, no details on this yet, but they're teasing that there's something that's happening with Halo. Just putting out a statement in the bottom of a big news release about all this stuff that says, also, we're working with 343 Industries to bring future Halo experiences to mixed reality. So putting on a headset and looking through Master Chief's visor. Sounds cool. Like, that's one of those things that, like, I'm going to be pumped about in VR.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Like,
the future is awesome.
And we're here. Like,
right? Yeah.
Like, this is where I feel bad for all the young kids we've been talking about the whole show. Honestly, we don't hate you. We really don't. But we're in the space that you and I have been watching for on TV and in movies since, like, 1983. Like, right. we're there. We're in that next generation. Like, Elon Musk is talking about going to Mars, and it just, like, we're where we have always dreamed of our entire childhood. It's happening.
Yeah.
And it's just mind-bending, and I feel bad for those people that were born in 2000. That's like,
I know. Yeah, I feel like we have a different appreciation for it, because we've been waiting for it for so long. Like, you're right. Like, as young as I can remember, this kind of technology has been this cool, like, science fiction but attainable thing that, like, someday we're going to have that. Someday that's going to be real, and now it is. Now here we are, and it is real, and it's getting better, and it's only going to improve from here. And yeah, it makes me happy to be alive right now.
It does, absolutely.
As old and curmudgeon-y as we are. So,
and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. that's true. Mm-hmm. Very, very true. A couple more VR things for you. First, a company called Zeiss, Z-E-I-S-S, Zeiss, maybe Zeiss. I don't know exactly how to say it. Zeiss has announced that they are creating a platform, making a platform that will allow you to play Steam VR titles via your mobile device. And so it's the kind of bridging the gap between like the Gear VR or even like just like Google Daydream, Google Cardboard level of VR stuff and a Vive or an Oculus or whatever, in that they're going to render and send video to your phone from your PC. So you still have to have the PC that's capable of doing the VR stuff. Does it get you out of this for super cheap? But then it's going to render the video and send it to your phone, which is tethered. You're going to have a long USB cable to do this. But your phone is tethered to your PC, and it's streaming that video to you. Is it going to work as well as an Oculus or Vive? Of course not.
No.
But it may be a way to test the waters in a more real way of what PC VR is. I'm interested, at least. I would like to try it just to see like how well it functions, even with a Vive. I'm interested in this idea of streaming technology. How much lag is there going to be between your response and that kind of stuff? They have their own motion controllers as part of this that are little or pretty simplistic. But again, trying to bridge that gap in different ways. Is it something that probably want to go run out and get? I doubt it, but it is again pushing the technology forward, which I think is interesting.
I'm happy about the fact that it's pushing the technology forward, but it's like, why do we need this? Like,
if you've got a Vive or an Oculus, yeah, it seems frivolous. But again, if you're like a PC gamer that's wanted to get a taste of VR but doesn't want to put down the money on a Vive or an Oculus, which I get. It feels like a good way to at least get that taste. The experience is going to be a lot worse on your phone than it would be on a Vive or VR.
A lot
smaller,
worse.
Smaller field of view is going to be likely lower resolution, though phones are pretty incredible at this point. And so it'll at least give you a taste. It'll let you see what the whole VR thing is about. And then maybe convince you that you should slap down the money or convince you that you don't need to slap down the money on it. So either way, it's interesting tech. I like that there's so many people playing with this because I think it's cool. Maybe we're the only ones left that think VR is cool. It feels like there's already like a, speaking of things that we disagree with like everybody else on, it feels like there's a lot of people that are already tired of VR. I still think it's cool.
Well, you know what it is? I think what it is that most people can't afford it.
That's a big thing.
I really feel like it doesn't matter how much the price goes down. Until it is, because I don't know about you, and this may be part of the, you know, it's September and we're starting a new school year and you got your administrator thing going, but I don't have any money. Like, I had to put tires on my car, I gotta get brakes next week. Like, I'm very, very low on money, right? And so I'm thinking about those people that, unlike us, don't have the Vive. And they're looking at that going, it's going to be a long time before I can afford that. And you're looking at the Oculus going, well, that's a little cheaper, but it's still not reachable.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like for VR to be widely accepted, it's going to have to get to around the $150 range. Like, I really feel like it needs to be there, and it needs to be a reasonably priced PC. I mean, because your PC that you built is reasonably priced. But that being said, that's what most people spend on a really nice PC. They spend that and they're like, okay, this is gonna last me 5 years. No, it's a VR rig. And I think that's where a lot of this backlash, quote unquote, is coming from, is it's just so freaking expensive.
Yeah, I agree with that. And a reasonably priced PC is still expensive, first of all.
Right.
But that's also why the tech like this is encouraging to me, because I think part of getting better games for VR, increasing the user base is and getting more buy-in from the game community is more people getting the experience of it. And even if it's not the best experience of it, the fact that you can get a taste of it, I think, is valuable. And so, yeah, I'm excited for that, that it's going to get more people at least to try it and go, oh, yeah, I can see where a game would work like this, and help with the process of kind of cultivating what games work and what games don't work. Because there's a lot of stuff out there in VR that just doesn't work well in VR. And people didn't know that when they were developing the game, because it's a whole new thing. And now we're figuring out, okay, here's what we need to tweak, here's what we need to change. And that's the process forward, which I think is helped by the fact that more people can get their hands on it. So one last VR story really quick, and this one I just love because it combines two of my favorite things in the world. First of all, VR. Second of all, Settlers of Catan.
Awesome!
There is a Settlers of Catan game coming to VR. No, like, gameplay video or a lot of details at this point, but it says, quote, it's going to bring everything board gamers love to the Oculus Rift or the Gear VR even, and so you can play it on the Gear VR while maintaining the experience of playing Settlers. And so that's cool. And I'll say, on one of the games that I've played on VR that I just loved, and I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. I need to look at my Steam library and check, but it's a tower defense game that you are like standing over the table. I talked about this a while back. And you place the towers where you want to. You see the little guys come in, but you can like walk around the table. You can put stuff in different places, and it's cute animations and all that kind of stuff. It's one of my favorite things I've done in VR. I just loved how it played. I love being able to reach out and interact with the board. Thinking of Catan in that way, if you can speed up the gameplay a little bit, that's going to be a pretty critical part of this, I think, to make it work well in VR. But if you could speed up the gameplay a little bit and make it that way where you can interact with things in real time, I think it could be really fun. And just as a person who's a big fan of this series, I'm excited about it on that level.
I'm thinking about your brother-in-law in China. I don't know if you told him that you have a Vive or not, but I'm thinking the two of you are probably jumping up and down, because I think y'all did a whole lot of that back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. So
we played lots of Settlers.
Yeah. So, I think it's going to be huge. It'd be a lot of fun. And yeah, we were talking about the Microsoft stuff earlier. That right there is another example where I think AR would probably work better than VR for something like that.
It very well could, and there's ways you could make that really fun of having a template board in front of you, but being able to play with other people, and the template board populates based off of, you know, people from other places in the world, you know, like that you have people potentially like in China that are playing with you, and you can look at your board and see their moves or whatever, and yeah. Could be really cool. There's a lot of potential in the board game world, I think, in VR to do some really fun stuff.
I just all I want is like 8 hours a day to play games. Like that's all I want. 8 hours a day for like 20 years. Most people retire, they play golf, they go to Florida, whatever it is they do. You and I are going to retire. We're going to sit in a room. We're going to play video games for 20 hours a day. That's what we're going to do.
Yep.
Agreed. It'll be that. So, and that's kind of scary. Like, that seems a little freaky, but that's probably what we're going to do.
Yeah. It'll be awesome. It'll be the best. So, something to look forward to someday. So, a couple more things we'll finish up. Secret of Mana, we already know Secret of Mana has been in the news lately because it's coming to the SNES Classic, but also announced it's getting a full-on remake, too, a 3D remake in a kind of cartoony Japanese RPG-style polygonal, but cool-looking, and I'm all for it. And so more Secret of Mana is not a bad thing because, again, it's a really fun game from the SNES days, and so... yeah, getting a lot of pub right now, and I'm excited about that.
It's a classic.
It is a classic. One of the better RPGs on the Super Nintendo that had a ton of really great RPGs on it, and so that says a lot. Another game that's coming back, this one's fascinating on a couple of levels, L.A. Noire, which we played together at E3 many years ago at this point, is getting remade for modern consoles, for PS4, Xbox One, and for the Switch even, so coming to the Switch. And on top of all that, is going to have a VR mission or VR game alongside of it. It's not going to be the full game. But it's called the VR Case Files that has 7 cases from the original game that you can do in VR, which is a game that could really work well with that, because a lot of L.A. Noire was like crime scene investigation, which is something that's totally practical in VR. And so I'm actually really pumped about this. I dug that game a lot. I thought it was really cool.
It was really good. It was really cool from like the very end, and then it got weird. So
yeah, that's fair.
I'm hoping.
But the weird motion capture they did with the faces and all that stuff was so revolutionary at the time, and nobody's really done it still, not the same way, which is kind of amazing to me.
I just remember the thing that sticks in my head is that your little brother was hanging out at the house that week, and he so wanted to hang out with us during that week, but every time we fired up L.A. Noire, you're like, you gotta go.
Hey, there was a lot of nakedness in that game.
Yeah.
a lot of dead nakedness. It wasn't even like sexual nakedness. It was just like corpses that were naked. And you're like,
I really felt bad because we're doing our thing. And he wants me around. And he's like, okay, can I play Assassin's Creed? I really did. I felt bad. But to this day, I remember that.
Yep, that's fair. Yeah, for sure. Speaking of young people, I don't know if that was a transition or not. A 17-year-old just got $100,000 salary per year playing Overwatch.
What?
Got signed to a contract as a pro Overwatch player. At one point, says $150,000 per year in this story.
What?
17 years old. It's making $150,000 playing Overwatch. We went wrong somewhere in life.
Dude, this is not fair.
Isn't that the
truth?
This is
seriously, Duff, help. that's depressing.
Yeah.
What the? He's 17.
17.
What's a 17-year-old going to do with $150,000 a year?
Play a lot of video games.
I just want to quit. I just want to give up.
Yeah.
Wow. Because, you do all right, but you got to work real hard for what you get.
Right. It's not anything compared to that. I'm not making $100,000 a year for sure. So, yeah. Oh, I wish I was better at video games. I could make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah. Apparently.
Apparently. So, anyway. And then one more thing I'll mention here. A couple of things we didn't get to. Go by the show notes. One of my favorite stories, this is worth a read. So, go by Gaming Uncensored to see this. Peter Molyneux paid a visit to Sean Murray of No Man's Sky to talk about making games that didn't turn out either the way they want them or didn't get received the way they were anticipating, which is just fascinating because forever... thinking of No Man's Sky kind of in the lens of a game like Spore, and here they are talking about those games. And so, fascinating Peter Molyneux and Sean Murray chatting. And then the potential of Bethesda making a Game of Thrones game, which...
Please don't.
Kind of leaked and then kind of said, nope, that's probably not true. If anybody makes a good Game of Thrones game, could make a good Game of Thrones game, is Bethesda, right? Like, if we're trusting anybody to that franchise, it would be Bethesda that I would want to have that franchise. They've proven they can do dragons really well.
Yeah, they can do... By the way, have you seen that show? Or you watched... I know you're behind.
No. But, yeah.
Well,
years.
Seriously.
I've seen lots of people talk about it on Twitter. And so I feel like I know way more than I should.
Yeah, you really need to watch that show because I've watched. I'm 5 seasons in. I have 6 and 7 to catch up on. But man, it's great.
Yeah, I read the first book.
I have the first book. I've not ever done that.
It's twisted, which the show is too. So there you go. So anyway, one last thing to mention, and then this is a tease for you to go by Patreon and check it out more there. One of the videos that we did for Patreon people is about the new 11-bit game called Frostpunk, 11-bit being the studio that did This War of Mine, which we loved. We had Pavel on the show, one of the guys that works at 11-bit, to come and talk about it, which we also loved. It was a blast having him here to talk about the background of that game. This new game, Frostpunk, which I think we've actually mentioned on the show a while back. They announced it a long time ago, but they showed a little bit more at Gamescom.
The thing that blows my mind is he talked about it. He's like, we got this new thing. We're on the air. We got this new thing that we're working on, and I'm going to have to come back because you guys are going to dig it. That was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, we were one of the first people to get a tease about this game from 11-bit, so that's awesome. That makes us feel super cool. So we know a lot more about it now, and there's actually a little bit of gameplay. You can see how it works. It's going to be similar to This War of Mine, it looks like, in a lot of ways. It's an Ice Age, so it's all about survival yet again, but it's also kind of city building, and so whereas This War of Mine was very small scope, that was just this one house with this group of people that you were trying to keep alive. This is seemingly going to be a lot more people that you're trying to keep a city alive, and then maybe finding other inhabitants of this Iceland wasteland. And it's steampunk. It's this big like steam generator at the center of the city that keeps everything running, and it looks super cool. It's not coming anytime soon, but whatever it gets here, we're gonna jump all over it.
We're not waiting for the thing to get here before we get Bob on the show. I want Bob on the show in like the next month and a half, because I want some,
we'll get him to come and talk about it.
Yeah, because I want some stuff that nobody else has heard yet. That's what I want. We got that guy's email address. He said he would come back. That's happening.
Yeah. We're going to hold him to it.
He's going to laugh when he sees an email from us. He's like, man, those guys weren't kidding. But yeah, that game's going to be great. We also mentioned, we also talked about another game on Patreon called Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. It's awesome. If you haven't been by Patreon, if you haven't subscribed over there, you definitely need to go over there and check it out, because that we talked about that today. That is one of the coolest looking titles I have seen in a while.
Agreed.
And you're definitely gonna want to go by Patreon and check that out, because it's like one of those that you see it playing and you stop and look. So
yeah,
I'm excited about that one as well.
Swing by GamingUncensored.com, Patreon link's right there at the top of the page. And so you can see more about both of those games. And some more, we talked Mario. We also talked about Cuphead some more, which we played music from in the show. And so lots of good stuff going on over at the Patreon.
We're actually earning our money.
We're trying.
We're trying really hard. I don't know where we're finding time to do all that, but we are getting it done, and I appreciate the work you put in over there to get that stuff up. I've got an episode of This War, not This War, mine, of Life is Strange. Episode 3 is done, but I have to put it together, because for the life of me, I cannot sit down and record an episode in one sitting. They're too long, so I have to get that put together, but that will be up this week, I hope. So lots and lots and lots of content on the Patreon page.
Absolutely.
Definitely go by there if you haven't been by there. You can send us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. We are always watching the email. We need segments, and more segments. And you can check out the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And, of course, we got the Facebook page. There's lots of good stuff going on over there. People think we're nutty over there, and we probably are. But lots of good discussion going on over there as well. We got the Twitter, which you're trying desperately to keep up with. And
by the way, all the show notes on the Twitter page now too.
Awesome!
Together, just tweeting them out, so you can find the show notes at gaminguncensored.com or at Twitter. At PodcastGU is the Twitter handle there. So, yeah, go follow us on Twitter. That'd be awesome.
Dude, how did you get all the show notes on Twitter?
I just threaded them together, and there they all are, all on one tweet thread, which is things that I didn't ever think I'd learn how to do. Here we are.
I don't even know that I know how to do that. You show me how to do that. I'm not sure how that happened.
It's super fancy. That's high-end Twitter stuff.
Wow. Man, maybe you can get like $100,000 for being a Twitter master. You know.
I got to figure out some way to get $100,000. If that kid's getting it for playing Overwatch, surely I could do something.
That's what I keep thinking. Like, think about me. I'm handicapped for crying out loud. There's got to be some money somewhere.
Something.
But man, lots of good places to come hang out with us, see what we got going on. For right now, I think that's pretty much it. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.